This call is being recorded.
It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The word of God is so specific and clear and just strategic in how everything is written. It says, finally, means to get the attention of the people who will read this particular letter. Okay? My brethren, it says, be strong in the Lord. So it's encouraging them to basically rely on the strength of God, but also says, and in the power of his might. And also envelope yourself in the strength of the Lord. And know that you have access to the power of God. It's not just for being saved, but know that you have access to the power of God. It says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles are the strategies and tactics of the devil, basically. Verse 12 is the cream of crop of this particular part of this teaching. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. What exactly is a principality? What is it? Okay. A principality is known as a territory or a sphere where princes rule. That's what a principality is. That's where the root of the word comes from. Principality. It's a few words within that word. You find principal. A principal is someone who has authority within a school. Someone who has rank. Someone who has rank within a school setting. And so their authority goes throughout the entire school. So a principality is basically a territory where a prince rules. Now, what is this prince? This prince is a demon. Okay? The area of territory that's assigned to a prince is a principality. I'm going to cover that in the Word of God in the Old Testament and give you a couple references to that as well. Okay? And it says, against powers. What's the powers? Okay? The powers is the delegated authority that is associated with the prince. The delegate authority that is associated with the prince. Okay? Then it says in the same verse, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Look at it again. The rulers of the darkness of this world. So it lets you know there's something of the world that's tied to a ruler. The Lord God said himself in his word, the friend of the world is an enemy of God. We're not of this world, but we in it. So it lets you know a ruler of the darkness of this world is implying that that's a high-ranking demon that governs over something that will come against the body of Christ. I'm going to give you an example of that, too, also in the Old Testament. Okay? And it says against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's the fallen angels. The spiritual wickedness is the fallen angel. Okay? That's the fallen angelic activity, like Satan and stuff like that, and the fallen angels. That's what the spiritual wickedness is, okay? Now, if you read this verse, you would think that they are separate in some way, shape, or fashion. Now, the principalities is the region the prince rules. The power is the delicate authority of that prince. Okay, now, the ruler of the darkness of this world, okay? Here's an example of this. Let's say you have someone that has a spirit of fear, okay? That is just a spirit of fear. It's a plain spirit of fear. It's a plain spirit of fear. But behind that spirit of fear can be something higher than that particular spirit, but the same category. Prime example is you can have a spirit of fear, but behind a spirit of fear can be a royal ruler of fear. So the royal ruler of fear has higher rank than that plain spirit of fear. That's what word God says here, rulers of the darkness of this world. So it lets you know that the rulers are high rank and demons that govern over things. Okay. Now, let's go to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel. I'm covering a few things and then piggyback with some other principles. Book of Daniel, chapter 10. Book of Daniel, chapter 10. The book of Daniel, chapter 10, verse, starting at verse, let's see. Starting at verse 12. Book of 10, book of Daniel, excuse me, book of Daniel, chapter 10, verse 12. Now, give you a little bit of backdrop on backstory. This is a time where Daniel is in captivity. By this time, Daniel, he's been in captivity for, at this time, Daniel is said to believe to be around 80 years of age, maybe 70 something. So Daniel is up in age right now, in captivity. He's in Persia. Daniel chapter 10, verse 1 actually mentions that he's in Persia and also mentions who the king is. It says that in the 3rd year of Cyrus, king of Persia. It lets you know that beginning of the chapter is addressing a natural king. A natural king. A natural king that Daniel has to deal with for his dream interpretation. Natural king. But if you skip down to verse 12, it says, "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou hast been set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." This is Gabriel. Gabriel is a messenger angel. Matter of fact, he is basically he's a high-ranking angel in the messenger scope. He's one of the rulers. Check the words. He is one of the ruling angels in the messenger scope in among the holy angels of God. Every angel has a different function. Gabriel was one of the messenger ones, and he's not just a messenger one. He's a high-ranking one. To understand spiritual warfare, you must understand rank. There is no other way to get around it. Hallelujah. You must understand rank and authority to understand spiritual warfare and how to properly move in it. You must understand authority and rank. Hallelujah. So here, Gabriel is a high-ranking angel in the messenger arena. You go to verse 13. It says, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia." This is not King Cyrus that was mentioned in the beginning of the chapter. It says, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia." Okay? Gabriel is letting Daniel know that a prince demon was withstanding him. Remember earlier, princes govern principalities. Okay? So Daniel had spiritual warfare because he couldn't get the interpretation he needed from the Lord because Gabriel was held up by fighting the prince of Persia. Now, Daniel was held up. Now, he's a messenger angel. Okay? But he was withstood by the prince of Persia. So he needed help from another angel that was not a messenger angel, but a warring one. So by Gabriel understanding rank, okay, he was going head on with a prince, okay? Look at the word of God. It says, but lo, Michael, that's specifying Michael the archangel. So Michael the archangel, you study the book of Revelations, you find, of course, that he went head on with Satan. Okay, the word God says, Michael and his angels fought against Satan and his angels. So Michael was an archangel of the warring angels. So basically, Gabriel saying, okay, I'm fighting the prince demon. I need some help from someone who has more rank than on a prince level. Because since Michael was fighting Satan in heaven, let you know that Michael had the rank that Gabriel needed for his angelic activity to help. So it says, one of the chief princes. So he even specifies that Michael is one of the chief. Hallelujah. One of the chief. Okay? So Gabriel had difficulty with getting to Daniel because he was fighting a prince. In the kingdom of darkness, you have princes and you have the chief ones. Okay? You have the chief ones too. Okay? So with that being said, because you have kings and you have kings or whatever, and then you have the princes below them. Since Daniel was fighting the prince at the time, he needed an angel that was higher ranked than a regular prince. And since Michael was the chief archangel, he could help him. So as you know, that even angels understand rank. So when angels help the body of Christ, they go by rank. They go by rank. You have no idea what's going on sometimes when you are fasting, seeking God, and what's going on in the heavenlies when you're asking God for something, you know. But the Holy Spirit can show you if you ask Him. You know, you could be in prayer and getting God, and Lord can give you a vision, and you're like, what the world is going on? And Lord can give you an insight as to what's going on behind the spiritual warfare here. So here, verse 13, it says, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Kings of Persia. Gabriel was able to be free to help Daniel. Michael was dealing with the kings of Persia. Tells you how beast Michael is. Michael was dealing with the kings of Persia. So that means that Michael was dealing with the demon who was above the one that was giving Gabriel trouble. So Gabriel's like, look, man, you dealing with the big shots. Can you come help me over here? Because I'm dealing with this prince right here, and I got to get to Daniel. So Gabriel's like, can you help me? Because I need you to help me so I can get to Daniel. So Michael was like, oh, okay, I got you. So Michael left that to help Gabriel. So that's just powerful that even how the holy angels work together according to the word of God to minister to those who have salvation. So when you ask God to help, Lord, we have no idea sometimes what happens in the heavens, but God does it. God does it. Now, the book of Ephesians mentions a world ruler. World ruler, all right, means to seize, it means to retain. I mentioned earlier an example of someone who has the spirit of fear, but behind it could be a world ruler of fear that has to be cast out of somebody. See, world ruler spirits can't be within somebody. So, what does it look like? What does it look like? Go and look at Daniel. When the three men, the three men that were getting ready to be cast into the furnace, and old King Nebuchadnezzar was so upset that these men would not worship the statue he had set up, the word of God said that he was so full of rage, his face contorted. He was so full of rage that his face contorted. If you want your demon manifest, depending on the demon, they're faced by the tortoise, depending on the type. He was so full of rage that his face contorted. And then you say the word of God, he said, I want them to turn this furnace 7 times higher than it already is. And he wanted them bound by ropes being tossed in. So the meaning of world ruler means to seize and retain. Okay? During a deliverance session, if somebody was to offer in deliverance, and let's say somebody had a spirit of hate behind it, but behind the spirit of hate, you have world ruler hate. The world ruler hate would manifest just to keep that person bound. See? So you can still see the meaning behind what ruler means to seize and retain. Just giving you some background on that. Now let's go to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 10. The book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 19. Book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 19. Behold, I give unto you power. Break that down. Behold, I give unto you. You must know your assets. You must know what you are given. The body of Christ was given a variety of things to let us be edified. It was given 9 gifts of spirit. Praise God for that. We were given a 5-fold ministry. Praise God for that. We were given through all of that power. Through the power also means the authority. The moment somebody becomes saved and confesses as Lord truthfully out of their heart, amen, and becomes filled by the Holy Spirit, they go on this path of continuously having access to the power of God if they know they have it. Having access to the power of God will not be manifested to someone who's ignorant. Okay. Accessing the power of God is for someone who knows they have access first and foremost because their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the reason why we have the authorities, because we are saved, not because of anything special. But this verse says, behold, I give you power. And it says, to tread on serpents and scorpions. To tread is not anything to be held, to be taken lightly, to read over. Because anything I tread over, I can stump it with my foot. The Word of God says that God of peace and bruise Satan on my feet shortly. The Word of God says in the book of Genesis that when the devil operates through the serpent was cursed and limited to the ground, and it was cursed to lick the dust for forever. So the trade point is speaking on a dominion that was restored to us that was lost from the garden. I give you travel, it got to give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Okay. Why did the Lord say serpent and scorpions? And I've read this verse quite a few times and I always got something different. But thank you, Jesus Christ and Nazareth. Jesus and Holy Spirit is dropping right now in spirit. It's not part of my notes. The serpent is what the devil operates through to cause the first man, Adam, to fall because he deceived Eve. But what do scorpions do that serpents don't or can't? Scorpions are able to bind their prey first, then inject the venom. What did Judas do in his process of betraying Christ? He had them bound by legal officials who had lanterns trying to find him. He had them bound, then he kissed him, and said, And Jesus said, friend, is one thing he said. So Jesus said, tread on serpents and scorpions. He basically tied what happened with Adam being the first man Adam to himself being the second man Adam, all in one line. And then he says, and over all the power of the enemy. What is this power? What's this power? This power of the enemy is meant to be said as delegated influence. Delegated influence. And then it says, and nothing shall the enemies hurt you. So when you operate in spiritual warfare in regards to what God has moved for us, we understand that we have authority over the things that oppose us. Now, just want to break down a few things. Daniel was on a fast for 21 days while Gabriel was trying to help him or assist him with the revelation of the word that he received. Now, Daniel was on a fast. That fast was a fast of a purpose. It had an intent behind it. That fasting enabled some things to move. You fast for a New Testament, there was a time where disciples couldn't cast out a particular deaf and dumb spirit. Jesus said, just kind of come up by prayer and fasting. Fasting enables the Holy Spirit to move because it humbles the soul. Okay, when you look at Daniel, his fasting just allowed God to have his way through him. So that could be an adjacent principle to things moving in the heavenlies. You cannot expect the Holy Spirit to move and have access to the power of God without him feeling welcome. Because the Spirit of God was welcome for Daniel and fasting for 21 days, it had a parallel event where in the heavenly things were moving. Fast for New Testament, when Jesus said, just come up praying and fasting, it's because, for one, dealing with principalities cover a range of a territory. So on a parallel plane, the Holy Spirit must have more of you. You cannot have increased ground in the Spirit without having an increase in the welcoming of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said this kind because that kind of spirit was a little different than what disciples dealt with before. Because that particular demon was on a different level, the disciples had to be on a fasted life, because the Holy Spirit had to have more of them, be able to deal with certain things. Okay. A quick note to refer to refer going to stop this.